Liz, hi, this is King.
Hey Liz, it's Pete from Bank of Cardiff. How are you doing?
I am doing fine. Thank you for switching phones because my cell phone, as you heard, if I don't move, I can hear you in the house, but if I move, then it goes from half a bar to no bars.
That's weird.
No, it's we're just sort of between cell towers.
Okay.
So it's, and it's not just me, Verizon doesn't do well here.
Wait, where are you guys at again?
Walpole, Massachusetts.
Is that more north, or where exactly is that? I guess in relation to Boston, I'm from the East Coast originally, so kind of have a good idea.
Okay, if you snap a chalk line between Boston and Providence,
okay.
Boston, Massachusetts, Providence, Rhode Island, we are on that line, about halfway.
Perfect. Okay, I got a good idea of where you guys are at now.
So it's kind of southeastern Massachusetts, close to, what do you call it, 495.
Mm-hmm. I'm from, North Jersey, and I lived a little bit in Manhattan as well, so I'm right in that neck of the woods, kind of.
Yeah. Well, compared to California, yes.
Yes, yes.
Practically next door to each other.
It's a lot warmer here.
Anyway, so I've been talking to Nathaniel. He's really hesitant to go with you guys because of the interest rate. And we've gotten about $50,000 in yesterday's and today's mail. So he's not inclined to go for a working capital loan, rather trying to self-finance.
Okay. Did you just have some receivables come into the mail, or?
Yeah.
Oh, good. It's some work you did with the demolition end of the business, I'm assuming.
That is exactly correct. It was a big job out in Franklin where he had to prop up two units, demolish the foundation, redo the foundation, and gently lower the units on top of the new foundation.
How do you lower units like that?
The same way you pick them up off the foundation very carefully, and you do it with an amazing amount of bracing, and you have your engineer on site to have organized exactly what's going to happen and how. And then when they say go, all the jacks that are going to move the building jack at once. So it's up. It doesn't have to be feet off the foundation. It has to be about 4 feet off, 4 inches off the foundation.
Okay, and then you just pull out some of the...
Once it's up, then you brace it, then you demolish the old foundation and put in a new foundation.
Kind of like changing a tire on a car almost.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was wondering, how do you lower some units down on a building? It seems
when you've jacked them up, you just release the jacks. But obviously, you want to do it all at once.
Yeah, if it comes down lopsided, that's going to be a major issue. I gotcha. All right, yeah, no problem, Liz. You have my information still. If anything does come up, I think this approval is going to be open for, let me check. You still got at least another month on it with some change. So if you do want to come back,
if something changes, we'll get back to you.
No worries. You have my info, and have a good rest of your year. And I'll give you a call towards year end. Do you guys normally do anything in terms of equipment financing with the Section 179 write offs or?
at this point, we have not. He buys his equipment used.
Okay.
And he's got this. He's got the skills and the friends to repair it, and obviously that makes a huge difference in the cost to acquire.
Yeah, we do finance used equipment too, so it's not out of our possibility to get funding for that as well.
Okay, he did go for financing last year. He bought some very sophisticated snow plows, which are. hydraulically operated, and they have wings on the side that articulate so that they can be anything from a 28-foot wide, just
to like 14.
Hmm?
Yeah, I think you were telling me this in the beginning of our conversation about like from like 14 to 28 feet plows, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's major industrial equipment there.
Yeah, well, if you have a client who wants to keep a 2.5-acre parking lot down to black pavement at all times, you've got to be able to move fast.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's not out of the norm for it to snow on Monday, snow again on Wednesday or Thursday, and then once again before the next week. So, you know, I can imagine you guys are out there a lot, especially being kept on basically like a retainer, right?
A large client will require that the machinery to do their facility remain on site. So you're not...
Really?
You must have, at some point in your life, driven past supermarkets or shopping centers, and there tucked in the back of the parking lot is a loader with a big box strapped to its scoop.
Hmm.
And that's the loader that, and the big box is a snow pusher, and that's what you push the snow around with.
Well, I didn't know, so like that's at the cost of you guys obviously having to have an entire machine dedicated to one client.
Well, yeah, but then it depends on how the contract is written. And clearly you don't sign a contract unless it will allow you to make money.
Yeah, of course.
So you're dedicated, the client who wants the dedicated equipment is prepared to pay for that. Because if it's plowing your shopping center, it can't be plowing the one next door. So
yeah, I was going to say there's a major opportunity cost if you, you know, leave your equipment just, I guess, on standby, pretty much.
Yeah, and then different facilities have a different required start times. Some customers of ours don't mind when the crew gets there as long as there's never more than 2 inches of snow on the parking lot. Other people require that the machines be running and the crew be there. Not when the first snowflake falls, but 3 hours before the estimated time for the snowflake to fall.
What are you doing at that point? Just like running over, playing.
You're pre-treating.
Okay.
Because there are wonderful compounds that you can put on your parking lot, so that snow either won't stick or will stick more slowly. There are various things you can do. Certainly, you want to be sure that, oh gosh, drains are clear and the operators know where they are, so you don't have a drain that's buried under a mountain of snow, so that when you get melt during the day, the water has no place to go except to freeze into ice.
Does it ever happen where the water goes down the drain and freezes into ice and like inside the drain?
And then backs it up. Not that I know of, but we've picked up a fair amount of business because whoever was doing the plowing the prior year wasn't paying attention to either where they were stacking it or what the where the drain locations were. And obviously, if you're like 2 years ago when we had that killer winter, you built huge snow piles. Well, you don't want them at the uphill part of the parking lot. Do you want them at the downhill? Because if you...
They'll just get a big ice luge going, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the clients aren't stupid. They see what's happening. And they're paying for the salt pre-treats, and they're saying, wait a minute, this guy thinks I'm a fool. Because he's doing it in such a way that there's much more salting and sanding than really should be required.
It's like if the dentist gave you sugar, you know, let me brush your teeth with some sugar every time I get in there, you know, and like, oh, it's weird that you have a cavity, like, consistently once a month. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's because people aren't stupid, and they get angry when they feel they're being taken advantage of, and rightfully so.
Well, of course, of course. But, all right, I'll let you get back to work there, Liz, and, you know, we'll circle back in a few months.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a good rest of your fall season here, and good luck with the snow removal when it comes. Hopefully it comes nice and early.
Or, if not snow, ice.
Just ice is fine.
That's
the moneymaker, right?
Yeah, it is. Because it may take 5 machines and 8 guys to clear all the lots, but one person with a big sander can salt all the lots. Even I can do that.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to imagine from the businesses, from your customer, from your customer's standpoint, the ice is a lot more dangerous in terms of a lawsuit. Like, no one, and I'm going to say no one, but, you know, when there's snow on the ground, you're not going to walk through snow, get your shoes all wet, and you know, do that kind of thing. But you could be walking along the sidewalk in front of a building, their building, and easily slip on ice and hurt yourself. And like, that's probably a way bigger liability for them.
Yes, and that's why our insurance costs are not insubstantial.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't it like 28,000 or something? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. That was a big number.
Yeah, but it's because the you have to protect yourself in case the client, the liability belongs with the person who owns the land, but some of them will try to splash it back on the snow power. So we're good about taking pictures and things like that.
Yeah, that seems like a nasty business to have to be in sometime. Litigating liability for some sort of accident.
Yeah, well, the solution from our point of view is to have good liability insurance, but also to have good records, including photographs, to show what was done, and everything's time stamped, so you know when it was done.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, you got everything, especially nowadays. The more weapons, I guess you'd call them, documents that you can bring to a court case. You're just, you know, giving weapons to your lawyer to help you out there. Like, if you don't have that kind of, you know, time stamps, documentation, records, contracts, all on file, receipts, it becomes a, you know, his word against your word kind of deal. And then that's your best lawyer is going to win that case.
And you cannot run it by the seat of your pants. You have to be absolutely precise. And it's interesting that the younger kids seem to get that really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I say young kids. Guys, and we have a couple of women who operate big machines. They get it immediately. The 55-year-old who's worked for himself, not so much.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, you know, there when you're younger, there's a lot of responsibility, and you take it seriously. When you've been doing it for a while, you know, you kind of tend to slack up. I guess not even slack, just assume that you're not going to be making those simple mistakes anymore, and
but
that's when it happens.
The younger people are much more used to the idea of that they're living in a world where people do sue each other. It didn't always used to be that way, and it's hard for some of the more mature people to remember that that's the way it is now.
Yeah, we're not just going to, you know, fix the problem and go our separate ways. Usually, even if, you know, all the damage has been resolved, there's still, you know, it's a business at the end. Like, suing is a business. It's just like a low-hanging fruit for a lot of people, and even if they're not even affected by said accident anymore, or it's been resolved, you know, it's still on the table where they can get some money out of you, and you have to. If you're a business, you know, that's how you survive.
I hate to say it, but
it's an industry.
It's the Donald Trump philosophy.
Yeah, well, if you're not doing it, then someone else is going to do it to you, Or like if you're not you know, competing to the best of your ability as a business, or, you know, in order to make money. It's just bottom line.
It can be really unattractive. So unless you really want to work that way, your best solution is to protect yourself. Pay attention.
Yeah.
And then the people who are looking for low-hanging fruit, as they say, will look someplace else, because they'll know that you're going to give them a fight for it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Path of least resistance. Yep. Exactly. All right, Liz, I'll let you get back to work here. It's good chatting with you for a little bit.
Good talking to you.
We'll touch base later.
And thank you so much for all you've done.
No worries. Bye-bye.